Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. And this is The Truth About Sales. I am your illustrious host, Joel Rico. Thanks for being here. And I want to start with a quick announcement slash apology. We've had all kinds of technical difficulties this week with the website, which means it's been a challenge for some of you to access the workbook, if you want to listen to the recording from last week, etc. So I was told that that site is coming up right now as we speak. And to minimize the chaos and stress on you, I had the marketing team just directly send you an email with the handout, the workbook, last week's call recording. So if you can't get access to the site, check your email, and all of those things should be in your email. If you don't see them, can't find them, then check your spam, check your junk, etc. All that stuff got emailed yesterday and the day before, so you have it. Sorry about that. It was a ISP thing that was way beyond our control, and we yelled and screamed a bunch, and I'm told it's coming up right now as we speak. So there you have it. Let's jump in and learn some new stuff. So what did you get from our last call? Our last call was we did binds. That is crazy powerful. So we did conditional binds. If you want the best deal possible, then we should move now. Right? That was conditional bind as a statement. We did conditional binds as questions. Would you like the most money possible? Well, yes, I would. Then we should act quick. Right? If then, conditional bind. We also did single binds. The more money you hope to make, the sooner we need to get it on the market. The better deal you want, the faster you should buy one. Right? Single binds. And then we also did double binds, which is two leads. A double bind is, do you want this lead or that lead? Do you want to sign with my pen or your pen? Right? Doesn't matter which pen they choose, they're still signing, right? So a double bind is a container of, do you want this lead or that lead? Do you want to buy that house or this house? Do you want to buy one or two? Do you want to use paper or plastic? Do you want to use Visa or MasterCard? Visa, great. You just made the sale, right? So that was last week. So questions, comments, breakthroughs, where did you see these used in the world last week? Did you practice? Have you discovered how these are being used against you? One of my intentions in renaming, relabeling this work, this workshop, this course, one of my intentions of calling it The Truth About Sales was not only to teach you these tools and these techniques, to also highlight for you where these tools and techniques are being used to manipulate you. So how is this being used against you? Well, the most obvious one I can think of that has disrupted the whole planet in the last couple of weeks is, do you want to vote for this corrupt politician or that corrupt politician? Notice the two choices that we had were, notice Elon Musk wasn't running. Notice Mark Cuban, Ron Paul, Jacques Fresco. No, those guys weren't in the race. We had to choose between this one and that one. Ugh. That's a double bind. There was no third choice. There was no none of the above. Right? That's a double bind. Do you want the crook in the blue tie or the crook in the red tie? So how are these being used against you? And they're everywhere. It's virtually impossible for me to watch television because the commercials just make my skin crawl because I see that these tools and techniques are being used to manipulate everybody. So any questions, any ahas, any breakthroughs from last week, or any ahas from the rapport game that we played last week, which was body language? Did you find it? Did you see it? What did you notice? All right, I'm going to shut up for a moment. *6 on your phone will unmute you and pull you into the queue. What did you learn this week? What did you find?
Hey, Joel, Don Hammonds from Bellingham.
Hey, Don.
Hey, I've got a question for you.
Fire away.
I tried a double bind for a price adjustment, and I'm paraphrasing and it's not exact, but I said, did you want to do the normal price adjustment of $15,000, or did you want to do the aggressive price adjustment of $25,000? And my client picked something in the middle. And while I'm happy with the price adjustment, I feel like the technique did not work for me.
I feel like it worked beautifully. What was your intention?
To get the price adjustment.
To get a price reduction, yeah.
Okay.
So if your intention is a price reduction, and you say, should we drop it by 15, or should we get aggressive and drop it by 25, and they go, well, let's cut the difference and call it 20, I would call that.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah,
thank
I would
you.
Definitely.
Thank
call
you
that.
For that.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, so my originally, when I started teaching this material 12 or 13 years ago, the company that I started to teach this was called Speak Your Intention. I think really the measure here, the goal here is, what is your intention? And perfection is not the intention. The intention, in this case, the intention was price reduction. So thanks for the example, and congrats on the price reduction. So anybody else? A question, a win, a breakthrough, an aha. Anybody get any sort of ahas from the rapport game? Did you learn or get any breakthroughs from, you know, mirroring and matching, watching body language, anything like that, or whatever? I just saw somebody unmute and remute, and I didn't catch
the
line. So, yes.
Hey, this is John G. in Las Vegas.
Hey, John.
Hey, so regarding the rapport game for me, it's made me slow down and think before I ask questions and actually listen. It helps me a ton in personal life with my sisters and my family. So very, very happy with that.
But say that last part. What about your personal life and your family?
Oh, so I have three
it
sisters.
Did what?
And then I have three sisters and my mom and dad. So we're Greek. And they're very loud, and they are very much like we're all just kind of one-sided. So when I slow down and I listen and I ask him what's important about you achieving that or doing that, it blows them away because usually we just talk over each other.
Yeah. That's so common.
Yeah.
That's so common. Most, if you, because I like to just, I like to kind of just listen to people. I like the communication model. So when I hear people speaking at the table next to me at the restaurant, for example, that's what most people do is they just talk over each other. Well, let me tell you what I think. Oh, well, let me tell you what I think. Well, let me show you my experience. Well, I had an experience similar to that. Let me tell you about my experience. And no progress gets made. So nice job, John. Nice job. One comment I want to make about that is John, I just heard John say, well, you know, doing this, playing this game really helped me slow down. Well, I think that's, if you're naturally a fast talker, that's probably good. So the question remains, what's the right speed? Should you go faster? Should you go slower? Is slowing down a good thing? I don't know. The right speed is the speed at which your client is most comfortable. That's the right speed. And ultimately, I want to come up with some sort of an equilibrium, meaning if my client speaks really slowly and I speak naturally more quickly than that client, then I want to slow down to the client's speed long enough that we bond. Long enough that we bond, we create rapport, we create a feeling that feels good to where, oh, this feels great, we're all connected, we feel like old friends. Then, once we're bonded and I start to relax because I feel comfortable, then naturally, even without thinking or stressing about it, just organically, I'm going to naturally migrate back up to what's normal for me. And if that bond, the rapport bond, was created well, the client will follow you. Now, what happens there? When the slow talker speeds up to match you, this is called subliminal leadership. We start to lead the conversation by speed or volume or something else, right? First get connected. Once you're good and connected and you migrate back to your normal, the client will follow you. What does this do to the client? Right? This demonstrates to the client that you're leading. They're following, which is exactly how I want my sales presentation to be. I want to spend the beginning getting connected, and then once trust is built, I want to lead and I want the client to follow. So awesome, John. Thank you so much for that share. And congrats on getting more connected to your family. By the way, this is the place to practice this. Practice with the people that are in your life now. Cool. Anybody else? Questions, ahas, breakthroughs from last week.
Hey, Joel.
Yes.
What's some of your advice if you're meeting with a couple, right? Or, you know, husband and wife or whatnot, and one is in complete rapport with you and the other isn't?
Well, I'm going to say that a little differently. So you're meeting with a couple, and I'm assuming that the couple, I'm assuming that what you're asking is that what if the couple is very different, right? He
yes.
speaks very differently than she does. And then
yes.
you said, I'm going to say it backwards. You said one of them is in rapport with you and the other is not. I'm going to say that you were able to get in rapport with one and you have not yet been able to get in rapport with the other. So if they're different, then you need to be different. So your job is to get in rapport with each of them as an individual. Let's say, for example, a really extreme example. Let's say we have a couple where one of them is definitely the boss, mm-hmm. and the other one is definitely subservient to the boss. Like one's very dominant, one's very submissive, right? The most extreme example. Then how do you communicate with them? Well, you get in rapport with both. The one that's really dominant, then you speak authoritatively to the dominant one. You say, yeah, absolutely, that makes, okay, good, let's get this done. Right? Whatever is in rapport with that one. And then the other one, the quiet, submissive one, when it's your turn to speak to that person, then you get in rapport with that person. You say, mm-hmm. well, how's that going to be for you
mm-hmm.
to leave this home and move into this other neighborhood? And you treat each one as an individual and find rapport individually with each of them.
Got it. So the wife's super outgoing, high IS Keller Williams talk, and then the husband's
yep.
like strong, silent CD.
Yeah. Great. Then
I'm
you
a natural
then you
high I, and it's not. He's like,
wait,
he's like,
say that again. You are a natural high I?
Yes.
Okay, good. So this is the most important lesson of all the rapport lessons is what I just heard. The wife is a high I, and I'm a high I. So naturally, I'm getting along with the wife.
Yep.
The husband is a CD opposite of me, so I'm not naturally getting along with the husband.
And he's starting to
this
give me the look.
Say again?
And he gives me the look like, who is this guy?
Yeah. So this is the problem. So everybody, really pay attention here. This is the issue. The reason why you're closing some people and not closing others is because you're naturally in rapport with people that are already like you. I'm a high I. She was a high I. I got along famously with the wife. It was beautiful. It was fun. It was easy. Yeah, she's your natural style.
Mm-hmm.
But not so much the husband. The rapport game, by nature, the reason why we play this game every week, and I add another layer to it every week, is because every client is different. And it's your job as the salesperson to adjust. And one of my favorite quotes is, somebody in the conversation is going to be a little bit uncomfortable. And I'm recommending that you volunteer for that position. As a high I, it's going to be out of your comfort zone for you to get into harmony with the strong, silent, high C, D husband. It's going to be a little uncomfortable for you. But if you don't do it, then it's going to be uncomfortable for the husband. And I just heard you say, well, the husband's giving me this look like, who the hell are you?
Mm-hmm.
That's because you were not in rapport with him.
Right.
So it might feel, in the beginning, it might feel a little crazy-making for you. However, I promise it'll evolve into being a lot of fun. So when you speak to the wife, you speak, hi, I, S, to the wife. This is going to be awesome. High five. This is going to be great. We're going to find the house of your dreams. You're going to get this great kitchen. This is going to have your friends over and party. This is going to be awesome. And you turn to the husband and you say, you're finally going to get that big, giant man cave you've always wanted. What are you going to put in there?
Got it. All right.
And then back to the wife. This is going to be great. When's your first party? When's the house party? You know, I'll come. Are you going to have a housewarming party? I'll bring my wife and we'll hang out. This is going to be a party of all parties. And you go back to the husband and you go, are you going to be at the party? Or are you going to be drinking a beer in the man cave? What's going to be the right thing for you?
Got it.
Awesome. So the trick here is the key, the breakthrough, the key in the communication model is speak their language, right? Now this is an impossibility, this is an exaggerated example. If one of them speaks Japanese and one of them speaks French, guess what? You need to speak French to the French one and Japanese to the Japanese one. Fortunately, it's not that. Fortunately, one's going to talk loud and one's going to talk soft. Fortunately, one's going to talk fast and one's going to talk slow. But I like the model. If one speaks French, speak French to that one. If one speaks Japanese, speak Japanese to that one. Why? Because that's the way they communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the faster we can speak their language, the easier it is.
Awesome.
Great question. That was a brilliant question. Thanks so much for asking that.
No problem.
Sweet.
Joel?
Yes. That sounds
so
like
back,
Debbie.
Yes, it's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Joel. Back to a husband and wife sitting at the dining room table. What I've had on several occasions is that the husband will dominate the wife in the meeting, send her to go get coffee, tell her to be quiet, that he's talking, like really aggressive.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the meeting, and he'll say, well, it's totally up to my wife to decide what we want to do. It's all up to her. She's the boss.
Wow.
And then, but it doesn't seem to make sense because that's not the way they communicated during the meeting. And then even subsequently, he won't make any decisions without his wife. And I don't know who I'm supposed to be speaking to, and it's confusing.
Yeah, so that's a really tricky one. So the first thing that jumps into my mind is he using the wife as a scapegoat to not make a decision? Because if all of his actions align with he's not only the boss, but he's dominant and he's pushy and he's bossing her around and he's sending her to get coffee while he's talking to the broker, you know, going over comps, right? He's looking at pricing with you and sending her out of the room to go get a coffee, then is he really deferring to her to make this decision, or is that a stall tactic?
Right, except that it seems to, like, you know, I'll have a conversation with him and he'll say, you've convinced me, but I turn around and try to talk to my wife and I can't convince her. You need to talk to her because I can't make any decisions without her.
Well, which is why during the whole time, I want to include both of them. So again, if he's, you know, whatever, let's say he's high D. For those of you that don't know the DISC model, high D is dominant, demanding, short, not short temper, but immediate, short time frame. But right now, cut to the chase. So if he's that way, And she's kind of, you know, maybe she's high S, maybe she's kind of scared and mousy and I'm afraid, then I want that conversation to be open with both of them the whole time. So when I speak to him, yeah, okay, we'll get to the bottom line. Great. Let's not look at any of that. If you want to get to the bottom line, let's just pull out the comps right now and see what buyers are paying for houses like yours. No. I don't want to look at those comps. I just want you to tell me what's the house worth. No, I'm not going to dictate your price. We're going to let the buyers. You don't need to. Don't trust me. Let's look and see what the buyers. Let's look at the comps right now and see what the buyers are willing to pay. And then I want to enroll the wife and say, okay, well, you know, what's significant about you? What's significant to you about making this move? How do you feel about that? And I want to include both of them the best I can. And then if the husband defers to the wife, hey, you convince me, but I gotta convince her, I would very gently turn to her and say, wow, it looks like your husband is waiting for your approval. So does this sound like it's something that is going to work for you as well? And just gently enroll her in the conversation. Now, if you make no progress, meaning, no, my wife makes the decision, you got to, and you're not making any progress, it tells me that you missed getting in rapport with one of them, or they're using that as a stall tactic. And if that's the case, we'll be to objection handling in about a week. I think next week we start 10. I think next week we start objection handling.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, Joel, go ahead.
Further along in the relationship, you know, after we get an offer and trying to convince them to take the offer, and not just at the table to get the listing. That was easy.
Okay. Well, the same thing applies. I want to enroll both of them and say, great. If the husband says, well, you convince me, you got to convince the wife. Great. Can you put her on? I'll talk to her right now. Great. Can I call her at work? What's the best way for me to get a hold of her? And then have the same thing with the wife. Call the wife. Now I'm going to speak the wife's language. When I'm speaking to the wife, I'm going to say, well, your husband seems to be pretty happy about this offer. How do you feel about this? I don't know. Right? So I just want to be in rapport the best I can and elicit their response the best I can. I can't convince anybody to take the offer. What I can do is say, so, Mrs. Smith, how do you feel about this offer? Will this work for you? And just enroll her the best I can and find out her position. I can't, there's no influence to be had until I know her positions.
Okay,
and then stay tuned because we're doing a whole bunch more. We're jumping into the objection handling model next week. So, you know, go talk to my wife or, you know, we have to go pray about it. We take all that on starting next week.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Debbie. Well, that was a really good Q&A. There's really quick before we jump in, I heard somebody jump in and say, hey, Joel, can I add something to that? Who was that? Do you still have a comment to share?
Yes, Joel, if I can. This is Danette Ernest. But when I'm working with clients, I find two things. I think that, you know, being in rapport is, of course, the what this whole class is about. And there's a second part. It's in fact finding out who the decision maker is. And I know when I work with clients, it's easier if I can explain it as when I can take them out for buying. What I do is I make two packages of papers, and I give one to each couple, each side. And as I walk away to go show property, I say, who can be my co-pilot? Who's going to be able to sit here and give me directions? And then I don't look at them. I don't do anything. I wait.
You let them decide. Nice.
Yeah, and whoever decides is the decision maker. What happens is the husband might say, honey, go sit in the front seat. Or he might say, I'll sit in the front seat.
Well, you know, if he says, honey, you go sit in the front seat, he's still the decision maker.
That's right.
That's right.
And
he's telling her,
important.
Hey, you go sit up there. Yeah.
I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, nice. Very, very insightful. right? I think what a lot of people miss is, you know, people think I'm in the real estate business. No, real estate doesn't pay commissions. Human beings pay commissions. Real estate is the tool. We're in the people business. The more you understand people and the way in which we communicate with each other, the easier this business becomes. So we're definitely all in the people business. So thanks, Danette. Thanks for sharing that. That's very insightful. All right, let's do some new stuff today. Let's do some new stuff. So really briefly, we're going to take on a new rapport theme, which is almost the same as last week. Like last week we did body language. So three steps of body language. There's gross body movement, 20 to 30 second delay, facial expressions, no delay, hand gestures, only when it's your turn to speak, right? That was last week. This week, the goal is still body language. This week, the goal is for you to find or determine the cause of their body language. So for example, it's a lot of people teach that if when you're speaking to somebody, if you cross your arms in front of your chest, that it means that you're closing yourself off to the message. Now that might be true. Might also mean you're cold. I don't know. So the goal for this week in the rapport game is for you to identify the cause of their body language. If you're speaking to somebody and they are exhibiting signs like they're tapping their pen, da 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 da, or they're tapping their foot, right, bouncing their foot, does that mean that they're excited? Maybe. Does that mean they're bored and you're going too slow? Maybe. Does it mean they're fidgety? Maybe. Does it mean they have to pee? Maybe. I don't know. Right? I have no idea what that means. And it could mean something different in every situation. So the goal this week is for you to notice their body language and see if you can identify what's causing that body language. Are they doing it because they're happy? Are they doing it because they're frustrated? One of the games that I like to play is when I see I'm driving and I see people walking on the sidewalk. I like to notice if somebody's limping, I want to see if I can pick out. Okay, they're limp. They're favoring the right. Okay, there's something going on the right side. Left side's fine. Right side. Okay, so the way in which they're walking, it looks like the hip. Oh wait, this one, it looks like the knee. So limping on favoring a hip, and limping favoring a knee, and limping favoring a foot are three different limps. So the rapport game this week is for you to identify the cause. What's causing their body language to do what it's doing? All right, try that on this week. All right, let's get into some language tools. So our language tool this week, any questions about that before I jump into language? Any thoughts, comments, questions, anything about identifying the cause of their body language? Okay, perfect. So this week our language tool is, in my opinion, very easy, very powerful. And once you see it, once you get it, once you practice it for a week, this will be ingrained in you. This is a very easy one to adopt. So what we're taking on this week is cause and effect, causality. What causes what? So a really brief background. All of us were raised in a Newtonian paradigm. That means that we were raised in a system that believes in we've all been indoctrinated to believe the Newtonian laws of physics, which is every effect has a cause. Let that sink in for a sec. So our most basic understanding of how the world works is described by Newton's laws of motion. And there's several Newton's laws of motion, but there's only one that's really going to interest us in this model. And it's Newton's law of inertia. So the first law is the law of inertia. That doesn't matter for us. The second law is force and acceleration. That doesn't matter for us. The one that we're interested in is actually Newton's third law of motion, and that says, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That's it. So this is ingrained in human beings. We all know for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If you kick a beehive, what's going to happen? There's going to be a reaction. The bees are going to come out and swarm you. If you ever watch in slow motion, if you watch somebody shoot a gun, what happens when you shoot a gun? The gun kicks. It kicks back. Why? Because all the energy of the bullet going out the front is matched in the kick coming back towards you. Because all the laws of energy in the world are balanced. So consider something like, I like the example of accident reconstruction. How do the police, and the big pile up of cars, how do the police know who started that accident? Well, they look at the skid marks and they look at the crumpled cars and they reconstruct. Well, it looks like the white car hit the blue car and that caused the blue car to slide sideways into the green car. When the blue car hit the green car, it caused the green car to surge forward and hit the school bus. And when the green car hit the school bus, it caused the school bus to swerve into the guardrail. This caused this, caused this, caused this, caused that. So who's at fault for that accident? Well, the way we do it is whoever started it, whoever initiated the chain of causality is at fault. So, by the way, because we're talking about language, consider the word excuse. Ex from the Latin means no. Cusa means cause. Excuse literally means I'm not at cause. Nope, no cause, no cause. I have an excuse, but I have no cause. Right? A plausible excuse is the claim that there's no manageable cause that contributed to this situation. So what we're going to take on today is speaking inside the structure of causality. Why? Well, number one, it creates agreement. And number two, because we've all been indoctrinated to think and believe that Newton's third law is the way the world works. For every action, there's an opposite reaction. And because we think, because we've been indoctrinated to think in terms of cause and effect, that when we speak in the structure of cause and effect, it gets instantly absorbed as true. So we've all been indoctrinated to believe, indoctrinated is a nice way of saying brainwashed, to believe that cause creates effect. Kicking the beehive, cause, creates effect. The bees coming out and getting upset. Cause creates effect. So what we're going to practice, however, is pace causes lead. Good thing we're all pacing and leading experts by now, right? So, and not just pace causes lead. There's a list of direct cause and effect keywords on your handout. Instead of just pace causes lead, it could be pace forces lead, pace proves lead, pace determines lead, pace shows lead, pace generates lead, whatever. And pretty much, virtually any pace can cause virtually any lead. So listen to these examples. The first one says, just seeing the list price of 1234 Main Street demonstrates we're in a seller's market and this is a great time to list. Now, does seeing one comp truly demonstrate anything? Not really. But let's say the seller thinks their house is worth $400, and we have a good comp at $475, and you say, just seeing this comp at $475 means we're in a seller's market, proves we're in a seller's market, illustrates we're in a seller's market, and it's a great time to sell. So notice we start with a pace, just seeing this comp right here. See this one? What happens? We're starting with a pace. What happens when we pace? Instant agreement, because a pace is something that's true for the client. So we say, this thing right here is true, which means this thing over here, this lead. When the pace is accepted and the causal relationship is accepted, right? This comp demonstrates this market. Sure, comps demonstrate the market. So not only is the pace accepted as true, the relationship, the causal relationship is also accepted as true. That dynamically raises the odds that our lead will be absorbed as well. Okay, example number two says, knowing that you only sold 6 houses last year, right? You'd need to know that, right? You're talking to somebody, you're wanting to recruit them, you're wanting to hire them, whatever. Well, I sold 6 houses last year. Knowing that you only sold 6 houses last year, ding, 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 yep, I know, true, pace. Knowing that you only sold 6 houses last year means that when you join my team, we'll get you to sell at least double that, at least double for the first year. Notice the pace is accepted because it's true for that client. And then there's a causal relationship. Selling this many houses, joining my team is going to make that number go up. Number of houses you sold, number of houses joining this team, right? There's a relationship between these two things. It makes the lead that much easier to digest. All right, I'm going to rip through these real quick because I have a couple things to share with you. I have one that's not in the handout that I want to get to. So being committed to raise a happy family justifies we should limit how much the kids are exposed to the TV. Right? Being committed to raise a happy family, right? Pace. We're committed to that. Being committed to that means we should limit the TV. So notice how easy it is to absorb that. Number four, knowing that both political parties have expanded the size and scope of government illustrates it's time to vote for a third party. Right? So is that true? It doesn't matter who's in charge, the clowns in the red ties or the clowns in the blue ties, both of them are abusing their power. Doesn't make any difference who we vote in. Both of them abuse their power. Yeah, that's easy pace to accept. And this illustrates it's time to break the cycle and do something else. All right, this last example is self-talk, me talking to myself, you speaking to yourself. Wanting to grow my business, ding, 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 pace, 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 wanting to grow my business compels me to focus on lead gen and raising my level of contribution to my clients. All right, do you see how these work? Pace causes lead. Pace proves lead. Pace justifies lead. Mr. Investor, wanting to build the best possible legacy for your future means we need to get your money working for you so you no longer have to work for your money. Oh, yeah, that sounds really good. All right, any questions about that? That's direct. Why is it called direct? Because the causal relationship word justifies, proves, illustrates, generates, whatever, is right in the middle. Pace causes lead. Pace proves lead. It's direct cause and effect. Okay, any questions, comments, anything about that so far? Awesome. All right, step two. By the way, there's 3 steps. And on your handout, there are only 2. So step 3 is not in the handout. So step 2 is implied cause and effect. It's exactly the same thing, except instead of saying pace causes lead, we're going to say, you know, as you pace, comma, the leads happen. So we're going to imply the causal relationship. So we're going to imply that as the pace occurs, the lead happens. You know, while the pace occurs, the lead happens. So look at the Wow, my notes say direct cause and effect keyword. That should say implied. Little typo on the handout there. Implied cause and effect, and underneath it should say implied. Let me implied. Change that on my notes. Implied cause and effect keywords are as, while, once, during, because, now. What do those sound familiar? They should. Those are temporal presuppositions. However, we're not using them to presuppose anything new. They're the same words. We're just using them very differently. Now we're going to say, because of this pace, comma, that lead. Now that we're pacing, comma, lead. Once we pace, comma, the leads happen. So these examples under implied, I did this on purpose, are the exact same examples as the ones above under direct on the previous page. And I did them in different structures so you could see them. So the implied cause and effect example says, when you see the list price of 1234 Main Street, comma, you'll realize we're in a seller's market and it's a great time to sell. As a direct cause and effect, we said, just seeing this comp demonstrates it's a seller's market. Now, as back to implied, when you see this comp, comma, you'll realize it's a seller's market. Right? I'm saying the same thing. One's a little smoother. One's implied is a little smoother, a little more subtle. And the direct is a lot more direct, a lot more obvious, a little stronger. Okay, look at implied example number two. Yes.
Joel, I don't understand how just by looking at the price of 123 Main Street, I'm going to realize that it's a seller's market. Like I would think of,
let's say that you're thinking your house is worth 400 and you want it to be worth 400 and it's a 2000 foot house and most of the, you know, we're thinking around 200 a foot, that should be around 400 and 400 sounds about right. Look at this one, 1234 Main Street. It's just four or five doors down. It just went pending at 485 and it was on the market 3 days. Just seeing that this one house sold for $485 proves that the market is healthy and it's a great time for you to sell.
Got it. So you have to go into a little more detail so that they can see that it's a seller's market.
Yeah, you might. It might need some support.
I see. Okay.
Helpful?
Yes, much, yes.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, I want to rip through these because I want to get to part three, which is really where the magic is. So, again, as an implied, because you sold six houses last year, comma, pace, joining my team will drive that number up past 12. Lead. How was that as direct? Knowing that you only sold six houses means that when you join my team that you'll double that volume. Again, as an implied, because you sold six houses, joining my team will drive that number up past 12. See, smoother, more conversational. Okay, since, number three, implied, since we're committed to building a happy, well-adjusted family, pace, we should filter the kind of TV that the kids get to watch. Lead. Right? Because since we want this, we should do that. How was that as a direct? Being committed justifies we should limit. Again, as an implied, since we're committed, we should filter. Okay, number four, as an implied, because both political parties are crooks, I'm paraphrasing, because both political parties are crooks, it's time to vote for a third party. Now, how was that as a direct? Was knowing that both parties are crooks illustrates it's time to vote for a third party. Versus because both parties are crooks, it's time. Okay, example number five, as an implied. now that I'm committed to grow my business, or since I'm committed to grow my business, or because I'm committed to grow my business, comma, I focus on lead gen, raising my level of contribution to my clients, like taking really good training, like The Truth About Sales. All right. We're just about to get to the really, really good part. Any questions about implied? Any questions about the difference between direct and implied? Any ahas, breakthroughs, confusion, anything? Okay, so here's the fun part. I'm going to give it to you in two steps. So step number one, take out something upon which you may write. Paper, iPad, scratch pad, laptop, whatever. Hammer and chisel. Sharpie in the side of a pig, whatever. Whatever it is that you like to write on. And write an implied cause and effect. Write anything you want. I'm going to build something for you in two steps. This is step one. So step one is write an implied, which is going to be as we pace, comma, we lead. Since we pace, comma, the lead happens. While we pace, comma, leads occur. Since you've already paid for this class, comma, you should probably do the work. Because I already have your money, you should probably get as much as you can out of me while you're here. Okay, so write one. I'd like to hear two or three of those. Or 10 if you go really fast. Once we hear a few of those, I'll give you step two. And it's going to rock your world.
Hey, Joel.
Yes.
It's Mike from L.A.
Hey, Mike from L.A.
How you doing? Because your neighbor just listed his house, obviously it's time for you to list your property and make the most amount of money.
Okay, good. I'm going to shorten it for you a little bit. Because your neighbor just listed his house, Ace, right? If obviously there's a for sale sign today that wasn't there yesterday, that's a very obvious pace. Because
right.
Your neighbor just listed his house, comma, what was the second half?
I said obviously, but I don't know if that's the word to use. I'd say
okay.
Obviously it's time for you to list your property.
Okay, good. Because your neighbor just listed their house, Ace, this would be a great time to put yours up as well. Or this would be the perfect time to put yours up as well.
Okay.
Something like that.
Perfect. I'll use that this afternoon.
Okay, well, hang on. We're not done. That was just the first
half.
So stay with me. We're going to hear two or three more of those, and I'll give you the second
half. Okay, I'm not going anywhere, Joel. Don't worry.
Okay, good. I don't know if you guys can hear, but I think only I can hear them. But during this call, I can occasionally hear somebody hanging up, and I can occasionally hear somebody dialing back in. And I don't know if that's somebody who had to leave.
We can hear
you
it.
You guys hear that too?
Yep.
Yes. So I think sometimes somebody gets a bad line and they hang up and call back. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. So, yeah. Okay, so let's hear
right,
a couple
Joel,
more of those,
one.
Please.
I got one.
Fire
now
away.
Now that you're committing to getting in shape, naturally you should take massive action.
Now that you're committed, I would say past tense, now that you have committed to getting into shape, Pace, it's time to take massive action, lead. Perfect. That's a great one. Okay,
Joel?
Hang out. Let's hear two or three more of those, and then I'll give you part two. Yes.
Because your house hasn't sold yet, it's time to take a price reduction.
Perfect. Because your house hasn't sold yet, Pace, do you think that's going to ring true for the seller? Of course it is. The seller's going to go, I know damn well my house hasn't sold. That's a huge pace. Because your house hasn't sold yet, because we haven't gotten an offer yet, because we are whatever, right? That's a huge pace for the seller. Then it's time for us to reduce the price. Very good.
Hey, Joel.
I really like the paces that are unmistakable. Right? If I say, like, you know, because today's a beautiful day, well, that might not be true for you. So because we haven't received an offer yet, ugh, that's 100% true. I know damn well I haven't received an offer yet. That's a giant pace that's unmistakable. Yeah, I heard somebody say, hey, Joel. Was there one more? Looks like a Las Vegas number that popped up. Nope. All right. So that was part one. Anybody else want to read their part one, their implied cause and effect sentence? Once, going twice? Okay. So take the implied cause and effect sentence that you just wrote. Because pace, comma, lead. Take whatever one you just wrote and then add to it a direct cause and effect close. So it's going to sound like this. Because pace, comma, lead, which proves another lead, which justifies another lead, which demonstrates another lead. So take the one you just wrote and then stick onto the back of it, which proves this other thing, which illustrates this other thing, which causes this other thing, this other lead. And it would be awesome. Not limited to this. Anybody is welcome to share theirs, and I would love it if some of those that shared those 2 minutes ago would come back and share now. We'd like to hear your part two because we heard your part one.
Hey, Joel.
Yes.
Don Hammonds, Bellingham. While spring approaches, home values will increase, which illustrates why we need to buy now.
Very good. Let's break that down a little bit. Because it's spring, or
okay,
while we, you know, while the weather warms up, or while we enter spring, comma, what was the second half? The second, third?
Home values will increase.
Good. Yeah. Which while we enter spring, pace. Right, I know we're about to enter spring. It might not feel like it in Bellingham, but while we enter into spring, comma, home values will go up. What was the third piece? Which proves, which causes?
Which is why we need to buy now.
I would do something other than why. I would say which proves, which demonstrates, which illustrates why this is the best time to buy.
Perfect.
Something like that. Yeah, why is a tricky one. Why can be your best friend or your worst nemesis, depending on how it's used. A lot of people, when I say, which is why, they really get caught up in the, well, why? Well, why is that? And sometimes it can derail people. So here I want to say, which proves this is the smart time to buy. Right? As we get closer to spring, home prices continue to go up, which proves now's the time to get in before they go up any higher. That sort
Joel?
Of thing. Yes.
Joel?
Yes.
Because your house hasn't sold yet, it's time to take a price reduction, which will cause a new set of buyers to get excited about your home. Should we reduce it by $50,000 or $75,000?
Wow. So she did a little bit. Did everybody catch that? She did a little extra step. So what I heard was implied to direct, and then she closed it up with a double bind. Right? So one more time for everybody else to hear that. Follow along. This was an implied, which proves this direct, and then for a close, she said, would you like to do this one or that one? One more time, please.
Because your house hasn't sold yet, it's time to take a price reduction, which will cause a whole new set of buyers to get excited about your home. Reduce it by $50,000 or $75,000.
So let's just for fun, because that one's so good, let's tweak that one a little bit. Because your home hasn't sold yet, or because we haven't received an offer yet, you said it's time to take a price reduction, that could be an opportunity for you to say, it's time to reduce the price and put an embedded command right there. That might make it a bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And right. Then, let's see, there was one other thing I had to say. Because we haven't received an offer yet, it's time to reduce the price. Oh, which will cause buyers to get excited to come and see it, right? You could put another embedded command in the third leg of that. So literally, you could add reduce the price and get excited as two in part two and part three of that, and then use the double bind.
Yeah, sounds better.
Well, I don't know about better, but it's got a little more horsepower.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. So can you deliver it with those embedded commands in there? Can we hear all that?
Because your house hasn't sold yet, it's time to reduce the price, which will get buyers excited about your home.
Well, which will help buyers get excited about this property. So should we reduce it by this much or by that much? Right? So you have an opportunity to deliver, get excited. Now, here's an interesting thing about the embedded command. We're saying the buyers might get excited, yet it's an opportunity for you to deliver the command, get excited, that will land on the seller, even though we're talking about the buyer.
Is this enough to get a price reduction, these two sentences?
Certainly could be. Mr.
Okay.
and Mrs. Seller, we've been on the market. You told me you wanted to move to Florida for March. We've been on the market 6 weeks, and we don't have an offer yet. Since we don't have an offer yet, comma, it's time for us to reduce the price, which will cause buyers to get excited about this property. So should we reduce it by a little bit and gamble, or should we take $50,000 off and get you to Florida? Let's take $50,000 off and move me to Florida. Okay, good. Would you like me another double bind? Would you like me to fax or email the signature for the price reduction? Yeah, just email it over. Great, I'll do that right now.
Okay.
So her question, very valid. Is this little one or two sentences, is this enough to get me a price reduction? Why not? Why not? All right, we have, according to my clock, a whole 2 minutes left. Questions, comments, examples, anything. And I'd like to share with you that we're at the end of this section of the course. Next week, we start the objection handling process. So please, pretty please, bring your most hated objections next week. Bring the ones that you hate. Bring the ones that you struggle with. Be ready to practice and play with objections. It's my intention that you become so adept, so fluid at handling these objections that you never get them again. All right, questions, comments? Somebody just unmuted.
Joel, Michelle from San Antonio. I apologize, I missed the very first entrance to the call. Did you, I tried to reconnect to that link for last week's call,
yeah,
and it's still not coming up.
Yeah, the website has been, we had some ISP, my marketing people did this giant marketing push. We had so much traffic that the website imploded. So that's being moved to a new host. The website, I'm told, is up right now. They told me it went up a few minutes ago. You should have gotten a direct email with the link to the recording from last week. So
okay,
if you
so
can't get on the
site
today, if it's still problematic, then check your email from the last couple of days, and you should have gotten an email with a link, direct link to the recording from last week. And
the website's still down.
The website is still down.
Yeah.
Okay, so check your email, and I will have Ryan email the recording for today's call. You should have it by the end of the day. And we will just email them directly to you until we get our ISP thing figured out. They keep telling me it'll be 2 hours, but they've been saying that for 3 days.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anybody else? Questions, comments, anything? All right. Go practice and write these in the way that we did the step three. Write an implied, which proves a direct. As you pace, comma, you lead, which illustrates this other lead. Write them like that. You know, certainly write some implied by themselves, write some directs by themselves, and then smash them together and write them this way. This is the most smooth, powerful way that I know. And that's it. So thank you all for being here. As usual, go make a difference in the world. Help as many people as you can, and I will. Thanks, everybody. Have a good week. See you next time. Yeah, bye, everybody.